Hello. I'm Sarah, and this is Phil, and this is Arabella. Do you want to say hello? Hiya. She's gone shy. We just say thank you for inviting us to come and speak. And I know Phil spoke before, and he loved doing that. And you've asked if I would speak as well. I'm not much of a speaker, so you just need to bear with me, and I'll do my best. But I just wanted to share a bit of my testimony. And it's interesting that today's people have been saying about God being in control and trusting that God's in control when we don't feel like it. And that's really a lot of what I wanted to share from my own experience. There's a song, I don't know if any of you know Kim Walker and Jesus Comes Music, which I really love, but there's a song which says, it starts off and it just says, freedom, so much freedom in this house, freedom to worship you, freedom to be ourselves and worship the way you created us. And we'll play that song later, but that's just been my story, is just coming into a place of freedom to realise that I can just worship God how I do, and that there's no pressure to be like someone else or to experience God the way someone else does, but there's just freedom. And the way we worship naturally is just, to God it's perfect, and he loves us, and everything comes from that place of him loving us. So I really love the presence of God, and I love experiencing the presence of God and seeing people impacted by the presence of God. And I've always loved God, and I've always loved to worship, but I used to have a lot of fear about the presence of God, and I don't know whether that's something which anybody could relate to. But I always felt really frightened, and everything felt out of control. So even when I was a young child and I would be in these meetings and ministry times, and there was people falling over and speaking in tongues, and I just felt out of control. It didn't feel like a safe place for me. And it's taken me, I'm 31 now, and it's taken me quite a long time to come to a place where I just feel safe in the presence of God, and I trust him, and I trust that he's got my heart, and I trust that he cares about me. And that's my prayer, is for everybody here, that they would be able to just feel safe in the presence of God, and have no doubt that God is good, and that he loves you, and that he wants you to experience his presence, and it's nothing to be frightened of. I used to go to quite a lot of meetings, and we lived in Wales for a while, and we were a part of a community where there was a lot of openness to the supernatural and to the presence of God. And you know, I'm married to Phil, and we'd go in a meeting and Phil would pretty much fall over the minute we got through the door, and we'd go through these fire tunnels and prayer things, and I would feel nothing. I would just walk through and I'd sort of feel nothing, and then I'd go home disappointed, and after a while I just would start avoiding going. So I would think, well, I don't really want to go there, I don't feel comfortable, I'm good at doing other things, I'll just focus on what I'm good at. But I sort of tried to put a lid on it and just got on with my life, and that was fine. But then when we moved down to Wales, and we were part of this community where the young people were experiencing, well, I think what you describe as a move of God. So they were seeing a lot of the angelic and seeing healings, and we'd sometimes see like miracles, like gold dust disappearing in our youth meetings. And it's harder to ignore your fears of these things when they're in your group that you're leading and they're in a church that you work for. It's a lot harder to ignore them. So I sort of had to face up to, you know, what at the heart of it, why was I afraid? Why did I find it so hard to trust God in this area? And thankfully, yeah, these are probably in the wrong order because Arabella was helping me. Thankfully, I mean, I had some of you know Karen Lowe and different people that we have connected with, and they, you know, they put a lot of time just sitting with me and praying with me and helping me work out the reasons why I'd felt frightened of the presence of God. So in the time I lived in Wales, I just sort of gradually became more, got to trust God more. Sometimes I gave him little tests. Like, we had this one guy who came to speak in the church, and he was called Charlie Robinson, and he did revival meetings, and he's a brilliant guy. But he came to our house for tea, and I remember saying to God, I was like, right, this is all very good, but if this is real, if this is really you, then I want Charlie Robinson to ask to see our wedding pictures. This is my test, they said to God. So Charlie came and he had tea and we all sat round. It was a bit awkward actually because he'd already eaten dinner. So he was sort of pretending to be hungry and ate another tea. But then after the meal he got chatting and he said, oh, how long have you been married? And then he said, oh, can I see your wedding pictures? And he just got out the album and showed them. And, you know, I'm sure he's not that into weddings, but that was just like a little sign to me that I can trust him, that God knew my heart and knew the things that I needed to feel just reassured that things that you can't always understand can still be of God. So I was finding more and more freedom just in the times praying with Karen and different people, and freedom just to experience God myself and with Phil, and just freedom to see some of the things I'd always had prophesied over my life started to come to pass. And I started to just enjoy being in the presence of God. But sometimes I still felt this pressure that I should be like pressing in for God more or doing something else to try and experience more of God, like in my own efforts. So I was sort of starting off a career working with people with learning disabilities and autism, which I still do and I love. But I sort of, every so often I'd go to a meeting and someone would be saying, oh no, I gave up my job to serve God and I've quit my job because I want to press in for him. And I'd be like, oh no, should I be quitting my job? And I really quite enjoy my job. And I just have that pressure sometimes that that I should be doing something else to experience more of God. And then I think about two and a half years ago, we went to a conference down in, I don't even remember where it was, somewhere down south. And there was a guy called John Crowder speaking, who writes a lot of books and does a lot of teaching. And I remember I was lying on the floor, just soaking in the presence of God. And also I was really ill. So I was pregnant and I got really ill and I couldn't really move, or it made me sick. So I was also just lying down because I couldn't really move. So I was lying there, and then John started speaking, and it hit me. It was like a light bulb moment. And he just said, there's nothing that you can do to make yourself more holy. Holiness is a gift. And even the faith to believe that this is a gift in itself. The faith to believe it is a gift. And I was lying there and I thought, it's all a gift. Holiness, God loving us, it's just a gift. It's nothing to do with what I can do, and it's nothing to do with my efforts. And he loved us first. And I think that's what I want to try and get across, is that it is just a gift. And, you know, I think I'd always struggled with the concept of that we need to always have our quiet times, and we need to be fasting. And these are helpful things. I've worked with people who have severe learning disabilities and severe autism and severe mental health problems. And you can't say to someone like that, you need to, you know, put in 5 minutes a day to spend time with God in order to get closer to God, because you can't. They might not understand the concept of time. That in itself might make somebody really anxious. And so I feel like I've just come into a place where, you know, that's a God which everybody can access, that God loves you because of who you are and not because of what you do. And so it doesn't matter if you can't do any things which, you know, help us get close to God, because he just loves us anyway. For me, it's just been a weight off my shoulders, realizing that we don't have to try and convince God, twist God's arm to be in relationship with us, but he just wants to and he loves us first. Just checking if there's anything else that I've missed. Oh yeah, and that timing of me sort of realising that there's nothing I could do to make myself more holy was perfect timing, because after that I carried on being ill throughout my whole pregnancy. And if I'd sort of still had the thinking where I was feeling like a pressure to do more for God or to press in for his presence, then I would have felt pretty crap, because I couldn't do anything because I was ill. And if anyone's been ill for a long period of time, you know what that feels like. And so, yeah, I just think it's just a case of sinking in that... Yeah, there's nothing that we can do to make God love us more, and that we're created to enjoy him. So I'll just pass you over to Phil.
There we go. Wow. So I did have a PowerPoint, but I think time's kind of going on, so I'll leave that. It'd be really good to like prophesy over some people, because I think the whole thing is like, sometimes we can see God out there and this experience of God out there, and we're trying to reach it. But the message of the gospel is that Christ came down to us, and his name is Emmanuel, so that's God with us. And I don't know, I've still got that. So often we're striving to be better people, or we're trying to sort of live this righteousness, but Christ became sin so that we could become the righteousness of God. And and when we just look at the message of the gospel, it's just this amazing good news, that God is with us, and he's not out there. He's not this supernatural experience out there, or this presence of God that's kind of 2 steps, 5 steps away, but he's with us, he's in us, and it's Christ in us, the hope of glory. And I think it's interesting, this whole theme about like hopelessness and God sort of bringing hope in the midst of hope deferred and hopelessness. And this week I was teaching sociology, and there's They've done a study on the American dream. And so people who live in America and have this dream, this thing that they want to aspire to and achieve, some people, when they realize that they can't actually reach that, it creates a sense of real hopelessness. And so when we have these things that are out there that we want to experience, and it's like through our efforts, but we can't get there, and we're trying, and we want to be better, we want to sort of be successful or whatever, but we can't get there, it creates this hope deferred and this hopelessness. But the message of the gospel is that Christ came to us, he stepped over the gap, and he is with us. Emmanuel, God is with us. And so it sort of turns it on its head, and all those the prophecies that we've had over our lives or over the city, or Christ is the fulfillment of the prophetic word, and he's with us. And it's no longer hope deferred, but or distance and delay, but God is with us. And so I really feel like for Leeds and for this church, because you've pioneered so many things in the city, and there's been like 10, 12 years ago when I was kind of a teenager, and Martin Scott would come and release these prophetic words over the city. But there's almost like this distance and delay about it, and or this kind of thing of like Sarah was saying about wanting to sort of reach this point of like you're a better person. Or but I just feel now for Leeds and for Dayspring, the time is now, and it's the revelation that God is with us, and that Christ is the fulfillment of the prophetic word. And when we engage, when we just realize that, then we start to see the fulfillment of the prophetic words that we've been longing for. So it'd be interesting to see, probably not everybody, but who's had like a prophetic word over their life in the last 15 years about something that they feel like they're going to just raise your hand if you have, and you feel like it's not being fulfilled yet, and you're still waiting for it to be fulfilled. So that's kind of that. In some ways, that is hope deferred. It's out there, but Jesus brings a fulfillment of the prophetic word, and he's with us. He's not. He already came 2,000 years ago, and he didn't leave. And so I think there's something that's going to happen where suddenly we realise and we start to see that either we're on the journey of already seeing the fulfillment of it, or we already have seen that happen, or that it will just start to unlock something in our understanding and we'll start to see it. Does that make sense? So I want to like prophesy again, but as well, it's not, I don't want it to be this thing that's like far off. I want it to be something that you can step into and see now and see the fulfillment of it now. So I felt like, Polly. Susie, sorry. Sorry. I saw you when you were up here at the front, and you were like, your hands were sort of, I felt like the anointing was up, the anointing of God, the Holy Spirit on your hands, and it was to do with creativity. And I felt like there's things that you're going to start, or creative ideas maybe in like business that are going to be released to do with creativity. And I even felt like sometimes there's a sort of a sign that comes on, it's like on the fingertips of like oil that manifests. And it's something, it's like, and what I saw was your fingertips, and it's almost like you kind of could feel it with your fingertips, but God was releasing from you the creative ability, because it's within you already to sort of see that happen. And then, and I felt like for you guys as well, this whole worship thing, and for like for Leeds, and just, and especially for like Linda as well, because I saw you drumming, and I just see this whole sort of just another level of worship that you're going to step into. And it's like an anointing of worship that's going to be really powerful and just carry the presence of God. And I just see that whole thing opening up for you. I just felt like for Linda, for you as well. I don't know. It's not just for the whole drumming thing and stuff. And yeah, I don't know. Maybe you're learning. Maybe you'll learn a new instrument. I don't know. But it'd be good to pray for some people. I don't know your name. What's your name? Yeah. Joanne. I felt like for you, there was like some healing that was going to come to you, like physical healing or something. I don't know if you need that or what, but there was some sort of healing that was going to come to you from God, and even maybe this morning. So I'd like to pray for you for healing, if that's okay. And with that, I just feel like such favor on your life, and such like, sometimes we don't realize how good God is and how much love he has for us. And I feel like you're just going to come into this place where God, you just realize actually God loves me and he has amazing plans for you. And I just feel you have a purpose and a destiny that he has made for you, and you are made for purpose. And maybe not, I don't know if you have felt like that before, but like God will bring purpose to your life, and there'll be like healing in that as well. Thank you, Lord. So, yeah, Jesus. And it's interesting that talk about seeing angels as well in here, because that's quite a weird thing. But it's the reality of the kingdom of God. So I think I felt like earlier there is an angel that's assigned to the church. It's like the angel of Dayspring, and I felt like it was sort of standing in the middle here, and I just felt like it's not weary. It's not like laden. It felt like it's mighty, and it just was standing there, and it's like, yeah, I'm ready to go, sort of thing. And it's not kind of like laden down or heavy, but it's just there. And I think it's encouraging, because God's not defeated, and he's not struggling. He's high and lifted up, and I think that's really, when we look to God, he's in victory. And I just feel like maybe for the church, there's something about looking to God, who's Jesus, who's seated on the throne, who's in rest. And like Hebrews talks about entering the rest of God. And I think maybe like as church, when we look at just what God is doing, that he's at rest, he's not struggling, he's not striving, then that releases to us just a sense of peace as well. Yeah, so I'd like to pray for some people. So I think maybe like with Sarah's testimony of sort of this fear and like this kind of distance and delay, like she can't quite experience the God. God's all out here and she's wanting more. It'd be great if we could like pray for freedom for people, if they want to experience God and just know that sense of peace that he's like with us. And also just anybody, if you want prayer for healing, I'd like to pray for you as well. So anybody, has anybody got like painful wrists? Right. All right. Okay. So I'd like to pray for that. There's something called like carpal tunnel syndrome. I don't really know. Do you have that? Right. Right. Okay. Oh yeah, so we'll play the song that Sarah said at the start, which is like a Kim Walker song, and there's like a spontaneous bit. And if we play that, and then while that's playing, if you want to come forward for like prayer or for freedom, for breakthrough, or for healing, great. And then sorry.
If we do this, I thought that what we could also do is, if the prayer team would like to go over there, and if anyone would like prayer for blessing, encouragement that's not coming to Phil or Sarah, and you'd like to go to the prayer team at the back, then please do. I still have got Rosalind's picture, all those angel wings and everything. You need to connect with those people, must connect with those people. So you might need to search somebody out and go for prayer for them. And the last thing I'm going to say this morning is, I think, just remember that if you don't know God and you've looked on the outside and you've been looking in, a morning like today must show you that God is in charge, that God is here and his presence is with us. And if you don't know him like that, then you need to come and seek out somebody. So you've got Phil, you've got Sarah, you've got the prayer team, you've got all those warriors as well.
and we're going to listen to this, and then we will finish. All right, and you won't hear from me again, which you might be truly grateful. But that's what we're going to do. And don't forget, Keith, Toby, trustees, anyone want to find out any more? If they can, I'm sure they'll help.
So much freedom in this house, freedom to worship you, freedom to be ourselves and worship the way that you created us. He has ravished our hearts and set me want to go crazy worshiping him. It's his radical love, his never-ending love, his love that covers me just the way that I am. Makes me want to shout and praise his name and love him. How I love him. Sing it out. We love you, Jesus. take a moment right now and